program you are about to hear, Bob's Slacktime Funhouse, is parody, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the Church of the Subgenius, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor and should cast no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
Listening to every broadcast. I only hope there's no leak.
The navigators are concerned.
Concerned?
They are disturbed about the future. There is a problem on the horizon.
What kind of problem?
They are troubled by a nexus they can't fully explore. An intersection of events. A meeting of countless delicate decisions beyond which lies a path they cannot see.
Episode 4. Unexpected developments. Smoke and fire billowed around the stricken craft as it plunged through the thickening air. And now it fell like a stone toward the unknown surface below.
And I want to assure you all.
He looked up sharply as the roar of the engines faltered and then cut out. The sudden quiet was deafening, and the fall seemed to go on forever.
Well, I can't think of nothing else to do.
The ship crashed into the top of the jungle, smashing through the trees. The impact boomed against the wall. And that was the last he knew of the landing.
Oh, I need a Chris Barrow. I bet you're so surprised to see me. Like a special agent Rubens. Austin shivers up your spine. Pilots, mechanic, first quadrant. I was flying before they died. Now I'm warning you, I'm falling.
His head ached, but he could hear the crackle of flames nearby, and he knew that was important. He opened his eyes and then forced himself back to his feet. He looked around him, coughing painfully as the thickening smoke irritated his lungs. The fire in the next compartment had blown away the door and what was left of the drinks cabinet and had taken a firm hold on one wall of the lounge.
Hey, what the hell? Oops, Johnny Red.
It was only quiet and the rising roar of the flames. He heard someone coughing close at hand and stumbled forward through the smoke.
Let's get the hell out of here!
And then hesitated in the doorway. His lungs were aching and his head was swimming. If he went back into the lounge again, there was a good chance he might not be able to make it out again. He swore dispassionately.
Jesus, hell.
He raised his cloak up over his mouth and nose and plunged back into the smoke.
Sometimes I get these questions. It reminds me of the same guy. Someone's calling me, but frankly, you need to feel it under.
president's helicopter went down somewhere.
The report came in just minutes ago from the White House. Search teams are speeding to the area.
Chris, are the authorities certain this was an accident?
There's been no official statement, and there are few details concerning the explosion.
Countless accusations of infidelity, bribery, extortion, and his bizarre attempt to hijack a 747.
Take this plane anywhere. Girls are going wild.
What do you feel?
I feel self-gratification because, like Bobby said, seeing it on TV is nothing, knowing that the president died in this tragedy.
As FEMA's director Michael Brown, along with Bush, viewed hurricane damage this afternoon from a National Guard aircraft.
Fine, upstanding members of their community. Although they never married, their relationship outlasted all the marriages on their block, and they never fought except to heighten their passion. They had made an agreement that when one of them died, the other would continue to live with and make love to the corpse. But as luck would have it, they were both killed in a freak accident and died at the exact same moment, holding hands.
I think they killed each other. You know, one of those murder-suicide deals.
My goodness, I don't know how we could be any clearer.
I haven't you.
Frank, do you have no... With great respect, sir, the family has now, since last night, heard this report. They must be wondering what has happened.
I raised an idiot.
There was no mayday, no evidence of wreckage when we went to investigate. The patch they were scouting to was probably a plant to lure them there.
His body was burned beyond recognition, and we had to identify him using only his teeth. It was gross, I'm telling you. It was really, really gross.
I don't believe anyone had time to put on a personal flotation device.
That's what she said! Woo!
Do you believe he was in custody of Al-Qaeda, and was there any mistreatment of him that is evident from his body?
The answer is the world will be vastly better off.
Which nobody can deny.
They know that the president died in this devastation. They feel good about that.
Right. Thank you, Bob.
How can one ordinary man have so many enemies?
It is not whether the bullet hit him from ground fire while he was still in the helicopter, or after he fell to the ground and hit by ground fire, or after someone came up and shot him again. We may never know that. What's important about this is that the United States of America did not decide to withdraw. Those forces decided to go in, get the bodies, and get them to safety. And the United States of America is leaning forward and not back.
Under those circumstances, we certainly can't rule out the possibility of terrorism. That's all from the site. Back to you, Mark.
Some of them must have got out. They must have, mustn't they?
No, yes. Seriously.
And his family is telling the president we're called away to an emergency summit. It will not be reachable, and we have no further information. Unless you find him in that wreckage, they're still out there, with about a 3-hour head start. Put up checkpoints for 10 square miles around that crash site. I want this resolved tonight.
Meanwhile...
Take a trip with me. Mississippi down in New Orleans. Hey.
The hurricane had bruised and gouged the swamp. Smashed cypresses and pines littered the waters.
And the buzzards, the scavengers of the jungle, soaring lower, ever lower, eager to devour the dead or the dying. Kill or be killed. This is the law of the jungle. And here? What have we here? Who are these men? What can they possibly be doing in this cruel tropical wilderness?
White men.
White men? Who are they?
I not know, master.
Hey! Yo!
bush began to pick his way as casually as possible towards the water. He tried to be offhand and not too obviously uninterested.
For the time being, Mike and I are laying low. It's killing us, but we've had to put our relationship on the back burner.
Oops.
Darling.
Brown moaned faintly and then squealed again.
Would you squirt some copper tone on my shoulders?
George got very nervous.
I don't think so.
Come on, baby. Smile.
Brown hesitated for a moment, then spoke again.
Baby, when we get back to the States, we're going to have a big wedding with all the trimming.
But then the delight of a realized ambition overcame Bush.
Whatever it costs, we will pay.
Okay, okay, just so it's you.
Bush grinned without amusement.
And you know what?
Hmm?
We're not going to allow it.
Really? Thanks a lot, you cheating bastard.
Bush's pinkness minutely vibrated. He clowned badly, and he tripped over a branch and came down with a crash. Silvery laughter scattered among the trees.
George sat down on the curb,
coughing foul stuff up out of his lungs. After a while, he felt strong enough to raise his head and look around.
One side of his mouth wormed into a creepy, lopsided frown.
He was muttering and about to cry.
Gee, honey, what's the matter?
We understand now what it means to recite a prayer, drive a plane in the ground.
Bad idea when you're full of codeines. I've handled 10 times worse. Besides, it don't feel like codeine you gave me.
Come on, baby, don't feel that way.
Brown felt himself facing something ungraspable. The eyes that looked so intently at him were without humor.
In this place, there's a custom for the funerals of jazz musicians. The funeral procession parades slowly through the streets, followed by a band playing a mournful dirge as it moves to the cemetery. Once the casket has been laid in place, the band breaks into a joyful second line, symbolizing the triumph of the spirit over death. Tonight, the Gulf Coast is still coming through the dirge. Damn his eyes!
Have you ever stared into the eyes of a religious fanatic? Suicide and martyrdom are often the same thing.
It's a dangerous game he's playing.
We agree. Something must be done. Although we may not suggest what that is, of course.
Meanwhile,
everything was going wrong.
There's a new ethic in America. At least I think one's coming on. If it feels good, do it.
Somebody wants us dead. When they find out we're not, they're going to come looking for us. That means they're going to be tapping some phones.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I don't know.
We don't even know what state we're in.
Come on, Grandpa.
What'd you say?
You heard me.
You got any more Johnny Red? He said.
Easy, sailor.
We started to argue. Mike said some pretty rough things, and I responded tit for tat.
Come on, baby.
Don't touch me, goddammit.
His face puckered, the tears leapt from his eyes, his mouth opened till Brown could see a square black hole.
This is making me so depressed.
At first, Bush was a silent effigy of sorrow, but then the lamentation rose out of him loud and sustained as the conch. Shut up, you, shut up. Bush would not shut up. A spring had been tapped far beyond the reach of authority or even physical intimidation. The crying went on, breath after breath, and seemed to sustain him upright as if he were nailed to it. Shut up! Shut up! Something he had not known was there rose in him and compelled him to make the point loudly and again.
We was attacked.
Bush looked closely at Brown.
You're crazy. That ain't possible.
When we was coming down, I looked through one of them windows.
So what?
I saw the other part of the plane.
So?
There were flames coming out of it.
Oops.
For a moment, Bush looked interested. What happened to it, he asked. Where's it got to now? That storm dragged it out to sea. Bush screamed. A scream of fright and anger and desperation. His legs straightened. The screams became continuous and foaming. Screaming, snarling, bloody. An expression of pain and inward concentration altered the pale contours of his face.
George began to emit short honks and toots.
and always, almost visible, was the heat. He smeared the sweat from his cheeks and clothes. The sand was thick over his black shoes, and the heat hit him. He became conscious of the weight of his clothes, kicked off his shoes in a single movement. He undid the snake clasp of his belt, lugged off his shorts and pants.
There we go.
He wore a tank top to show off the tattoos on his left biceps, a gang insignia, and the nickname Baby Raper.
Then he pulled off his shirt and stood there naked, with green shadows from the forest sliding over his skin, and laughed delightedly again and stood on his head. He turned neatly onto his feet. Then he sat back and looked at the water with bright, excited eyes.
Dumb f*** went straight off the bridge. You should have seen...
The plane was shot down in flames.
So what? The president said. His shoulders bunched.
Nobody knows where we are. Brown paused and looked round. We may be here a long time.
Like hell, George said.
He flashed a conspiratorial grin at Brown.
We want to have fun, and we want to be rescued. And of course we shall be rescued.
The simple statement, unbacked by any proof but the weight of Bush's new authority, brought light and happiness. He had to wave the conch. My father, the Queen, has a big room full of maps, and sooner or later a ship will put in here. It might even be Denny's ship. So you see, sooner or later we shall be rescued. Bush paused with a point made. Brown was lifted towards safety by his words.
Oh, terrific.
Brown was a bore. His matter-of-fact ideas were dull. But there was always a little pleasure to be got out of pulling his leg, even if one did it by accident.
Hey, my dad fought communists and terrorists, and he has a jetpack and a helicopter, and I bet he could beat up a cowboy.
Cowboy scumbag.
I know you didn't mean that.
Okay, thank you.
Stay out of trouble, boy. Your shenanigans could cost me this election.
Bush licked his lips. They gazed intently at the horizon, as if a little silhouette might appear there at any moment. The sun in the west was a drop of burning gold that slid nearer and nearer the sill of the world.
Oh my God, it's almost dark.
All at once, they were aware of the evening as the end of light and warmth.
They'll be waking up soon.
The president nodded.
There's another thing. Shelters. Who built the shelters? No, don't laugh.
There wasn't much left standing in the way of shelters.
If the rain comes back, we'll need those shelters then. Brown paused and cleared his throat.
I think not.
Hey, what the hell?
The world doesn't stop for a hurricane. No, but it wobbles like a son of a bitch.
The people of FEMA are tired of being beat up, and they don't deserve it.
In all due respect to your profession, you do a very good job of protecting the leakers.
The men and women of FEMA deserve better than to come to work at FEMA.
You wouldn't care to help with the shelters, I suppose.
I'm not going to sit here and engage in a debate with you about what's quick enough, what's not quick enough.
Well, maybe so-and-so's not patriotic because they disagree with my position.
Now the antagonism was audible. He tried to convey the compulsion to kill that was swallowing him up.
I never thought I'd sit here and be berated because I'm not Rudy Giuliani.
He knows that, that a strategy by some would be to split the United States and Osama bin Laden. It's a strong, important friendship. And we're not going to let that happen.
Brown had meant to leave him in doubt as an assertion of power. But Bush, by advertising his omission, made more cruelty necessary.
I guess you want me to be the superhero that is going to step in there and suddenly take everybody out of New Orleans.
Now, it's not going to be perfect, but it doesn't happen. You see, you seem to think that somehow you go down there and overnight it's clear of what we owe.
I find that funny because maybe we're both hallucinating. And I think I do a pretty darn good job of it.
That's not what I'm interested in. I'm interested in finding somebody who shares my philosophy today and 20 years from now.
What would you like for me to do?
Said Brown indignantly.
One area where... in other words, I have no litmus test.
Right. We were getting what we needed. We were getting what we needed, and things were working in Mississippi, and things were working in Alabama.
You know, as I said the other day, to the extent that I fell down on the job, I take responsibility.
I've done a lousy job. Yes.
I picked the best person I could find.
Thank you, but I'm not.
I just answered. I picked the best person I could find.
But apparently that doesn't matter.
People know we're close,
said Bush wetly, about to cry.
Make it better.
Look, please.
Bush spoke, dribbling. Brown nodded again.
I think the question is, do we have enough?
What I am going to do is observe the relationship. I want to watch that relationship. It's an important relationship, and I need to understand how it works better.
So, with slow steps, we traversed that place of mud. Through rain and shades commingled, once or twice speaking of the future life. And so I said,
if you do not protect and guard against the tendencies of the industrial age, you will wind up as part of its waste.
Is anyone here not a downer? Anyone?
Then he turned back on the filthy path again, not speaking a word.
There were no streetlights, and the roads were a littered gauntlet of broken trees and utility poles, heaps of lumber and twisted metal, battered appliances and gutted sofas. They saw a Barbie dollhouse and a canopy bed and an antique china cabinet and a child's wheelchair and a typewriter and a tangle of golf clubs and a cedar hot tub split in half like a coconut husk. Brown said it was as if a great supernatural fist had snatched up 100,000 lives and shaken the contents all over creation.
Meaning? Asked the president.
You're a silly little boy, said the Lord of the Flies. Just an ignorant, silly little boy. There isn't anyone to help you. Only me. And I'm the beast.
And so am I.
Meaning? Asked the president.
Stupidity was an overworked excuse. They walked for hours in pitch darkness through deep swamp and spiny thicket.
I'm hungry. Give me one of those Tootsie Rolls you've got.
Wait a minute. There's a half you owe me.
I owe you?
Yep.
What, a penny? Man, you are one cheap son of a bitch.
Yeah.
What we have found is that disaster victims move very rapidly. But apparently that doesn't matter.
The Donner Party moved faster.
Ah, shut up. I'm trying to sleep.
Did you hear that?
No, I did. It's a croc and we both know it.
Let's get the hell out of here!
Meanwhile,
New Orleans,
home of pirates, drunks, and whores. If you want to go to hell, you should take that trip to the Sodom and Gomorrah on the Mississippi Warriors.
The site has been cordoned off and entry is severely restricted.
At the moment, the blacks and whites are squaring up to each other. Half of the Irish are squaring up against the other Irish.
Can't we all just get along?
Ooh-wee.
Everybody fighting and scratching and screaming, and that big fat freak laying in the gutter like he dead. People's fighting and cussing and rolling all around that big cat pass out in the street.
They're incapable of living in peace because of history, because of what their parents have wished on them.
Cut out the crap.
You know the reason why the looters got out of control?
Why?
Because we had most of our resources saving people, thousands of people, that were stuck in attics, man, old ladies. When you pull off the doggone ventilator vent, you look down there and they're standing in there in water up to their freaking neck.
Bring me the axe.
Oh my god!
Don't mind the smell,
I think a rat died behind the wall.
Right.
Okay. We know when we not want it. Good. Beat it.
We don't want any hard feelings.
You don't know what hard feelings are.
I'm getting the hell out of here.
Why don't you skip it?
Oh, honey, the most dangerous thing I ever ran into in one of those stores was you.
And you watch yourself. Stay on the ground floors, near the doors, and in the light. If you see anything, shoot.
Check. Hello, honey. Can I borrow your credit cards?
In the meantime, I'm damn near hungry enough to eat processed food. How about you guys?
Now let me see those knives.
It could happen to anybody. The point is, giving you a chance to make some extra money.
Oh, that.
Halt. Stop where you are. Council Farmer Media Demente. The Immigration and Naturalization Service.
Say what?
What? SASL Departamento de Immigración.
We're living in hell. First they give us the work, then they throw us in jail. Hey. Road trip, yeah, I'm trafficking the white. Please, Lord, don't let me go to jail tonight. Yeah. Who me? Soul survivor, ask about him in the street, the boy G's around. $100,000 on my wrist, yeah, life sucks. The club dog, I'd rather count $1 million.
If you're looking for me, I'll be on the block with my thing cut, possibly sitting on the drop down. Cause I'm a rider.
Yeah.
He's a soul survivor.
Yeah.
Does everybody know the game don't stop, trying to make it to the top before you skip now.
Same dream. I guess we got the same dreams. Hey. Or is it the same nightmares? We let the doves do it for us. We don't cry tears.
Right.
We don't buzz. When mailman got his time, he shot birds at the judge. Yeah. I'm knee deep in the game, so when it's time to re-up, I'm knee deep in the real talk. Look, I'm telling you, man.
Telling you,
if
man.
You get jammed up, don't mention my name.
No.
Forgive me, Lord. I know I ain't living right. Gotta feed the block. Stop. And this is every day, it never gets old. When I was a juvenile, I stuck to the G-code. This ain't a rap song, this is my life.
My
thug was a battlefield and I earned stripes.
This is the United States Army. You are surrounded. You have 30 seconds to throw up any weapons and exit the premises. With your hands on top of your head.
Go ahead, help.
terrible, falling to pieces. And people here should know that, outside the state.
Can you do anything to help these people?
We have people coming to help us.
Who's coming?
That's great.
Take that, you hostile son of a...
You know, someone ought to do something about those people. How about it?
Fat chance.
How come?
For one thing, they're homicidal maniacs, for God's sakes.
Hey, man, they're humans. I mean, they're sick, you know.
They're vermin.
They've given them permission to go down and shoot us.
It was incredible. We really believe this stuff.
The idea that we could do that is so far from reality.
If you don't want to cure them, then kill them.
We can and will do both.
The last five blocks have been clear, except for some signs they've been foraging for food in a small grocery store at 5500 block. I think the prices are keeping in the supermarkets.
You got that jacket. I hustled it.
Times don't change, but the haircuts do. Same old miserable me or you. Rent and rump and up the flesh. On to summer with a seven stack.
Come on, everybody, come gather round, friends. This is the place for the lights and ends. Let's get together and do that song. Go to the supermarket wall.
We got the chance.
Think about it, sweetheart. You know what the world is like? It's like a boiling pot with a soggy stew inside. Nothing in it stands out. It's all the same. One big, pulpy, sloshy puddle of goop. Yet there is something that's special. You see? That one ingredient that makes it a stew. And do you know what that is?
The meat?
That's what everyone says. The meat. But that same meat could be used for anything. Curry, goulash, same ingredients. It's the stew mix that makes it a stew.
Stew mix is on aisle 5. We have to...
I'm not looking for stew mix!
Just smash it open!
Oh. Of course, the most vital thing is that we stick together. Where did everybody go?
A little to the left. That's a stop.
If I could only get a pig.
Don't you want to be rescued? All you can talk about is pig, pig, pig. But we want meat.
Where's the meat?
You say something. I was just thinking about meat. You want meat? You gotta catch big game, not small fries at a convenience store.
I'm beginning to wonder if the government is more concerned about, you know, the looting than they are about the people who are dying in these hospitals.
They're not interested in solving crimes anymore. They're too busy covering their own butts. It's just a facade now. Guys in suits trying to move up the ladder. And everyone else selling tips to the syndicates for chump change. Systems rotten from top to bottom. That's how it is.
Squad car, back up. I better get out of this damn cop uniform before someone takes a shot at me. There we go.
Every second, you look more like a looter, mister.
If I could only get a pig.
Stop!
Pig, pig, pig.
Don't you get it? I'm gonna splatter Grandma!
Well, that's a real shame. But we're not cops and we're not from some charity organization. Sorry, lady, but we don't protect or serve.
Look like a barroom fight in a Western movie. Look like a gang rumble.
Help! Help us! They stole our uniforms, guns, and tasers!
Now. Fry, piggy.
Ah, they're alive!
You should stick a pig. They always talk about sticking a pig. You cut a pig's throat to let the blood out, otherwise you can't eat the meat.
The nearest thing in nature to the flesh of a man is the flesh of a pig.
Delicious.
Look, we killed a pig. We stole up on them. We got in a circle.
Voices broke in from the hunters.
We got in a circle. We crept up. The pig squealed.
Given the unfriendly and downright homicidal nature of the local wildlife, we can't stay here.
Long struggle. Just like it took time to defeat other struggles we had. To succeed in other struggles we've had, like communism.
A condition he blamed on an unspecified childhood trauma.
My parents both were born in the day of the false gods who lie. The latter end.
Adolf, come and get it. Your clam cakes are getting damp.
10-4, Eleanor.
Whew, defoliating a victory garden certainly works up an appetite.
You sit down, Father, and dig right in.
That's right. This afternoon, I'll be able to start digging the pit. If I can get some work out of that boy of yours, I can have the bunker finished by election day. Where is Porgy, anyway?
He's up in his room, helping Porcelain make the bed.
Oh, my.
He's coming, Mother.
He's so good with the servants, Fred.
Stop calling me Fred. My name's Adolf.
George's mother believed Lester Maddox should be president of the United States and the whole white world.
La, 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 nice lady.
George's father leaned toward James Earl Ray.
God, we're lucky in this country. We have so many blessings.
Bombs away, Dad! Morning, Mom!
Morning, sir!
Oh, hot dog! Road cakes again! Heavy on the 30-weight, Mom!
Don't eat with your hands, son! Use your entrenching tool.
Aw, gee, Dad, I'm just trying to save time. It isn't every day a guy graduates from high school.
How many times have I heard that before?
Well, you boys fight it out among yourselves.
Okay, Mother.
Oh!
time. I've got to dress for my bridge club.
Gee, Mom, isn't that bridge built yet?
No, son. And it won't be until free hands on both sides of the big ditch can press the same button at the same time.
Okay, Dad, I give. Oh, boy, can I eat my breakfast now?
Only if you stay out of trouble, boy. Your shenanigans could cost me this election.
Well, come on, Dad. No Irishman can stop you from getting to be dog killer this time. You're a natural.
Don't wolf your food.
Oh, there's Mudhead. Graduation, here I come.
So long, Dad.
Oh, that son of mine.
He's not your son, Fred.
Stop torturing me, Ethel.
When George was barely 7 years old, his parents took him to his first Ku Klux Klan rally. For the occasion, his mother dressed her son in a costume sewn from white muslin pillowcases. She was especially proud of the pointy little hood. The other Klansmen and their wives fawned over George, remarking on the youngster's handsome southern features, baffling praise, because all that was visible of young George were his beady eyes peeping through the slits of his sheet. He thought,
we're understanding more about ourselves and America.
The boy enjoyed Klan rallies because there was great barbecue and towering bonfires. He was disappointed when his family stopped attending, but he couldn't argue with his parents' reason for quitting. They referred to it as the accident. George would never forget the night. His father had gotten customarily faced.
That is Good Friday.
And when the climactic moment came to light the cross,
here is evil.
Evil.
Is this not the place where all the dead were burned?
Yes.
And this is the last of the dead. And what shall we do with him, my brethren?
Burn.
Yes, burn.
Accidentally ignited the local Grand Kleagle instead. George spoke loudly to the man with the rope.
I suspect that I am the result of particularly weak conception on the part of my father. His sperm was probably emitted in a rather offhand manner.
What the hell are you talking about?
If it feels good, do it.
He looked at the piece of George between his fingers. There was syphilis on it.
Now he's shifting the stink to me. I didn't think he was that smart.
My mother would grow reflective.
Gracious! I should bust that cap in your ass!
She went away for the holidays. Says she's going to L.A. But she never got there. She never got there. She never got there, they say, yeah. The KKK took my baby away. They took her away, away from me. The KKK took my baby away. They took her away, away from me. My baby can be. They took her from me. They took her from me. I don't know where my baby can be. They took her from me. They took her from me. Ring me, ring me, ring me. The president. Find out where my baby went. Ring me, ring me, ring me. The FBI. And find out if my baby's alive. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
His parents decided to leave the Klan while it was still their choice to do so. His father joined a segregated bowling league.
167? That's amazing for a Christian.
While his mother mailed out flyers for J.B. Stoner.
She went away for the holidays. Say she's going to L.A. But she never got there. She never got there. She never got there. They say, yeah. She went away for the holidays. She never got there, she never got there, she never got there, they say, yeah. The KKK took my baby away, they took her away, away from me. The KKK took my baby away. The KKK took my baby away. baby away.
God damn disgrace! Made a travesty of the entire evening. Oh, what I wouldn't give to get a hold of those agitators. I mean, whoever heard of such behavior, even amongst the colored? Or mulattoes, maybe. I suspect some miscegenation in their heritage. How's he gonna explain it? Using the Confederate flag as a missile.
George dropped out of school on his 14th birthday, although his preoccupied parents didn't find out for nearly 2 years. George's parents strove not to know what their son was up to, even when it landed him in trouble. George's mother worried that the boy had a mean streak. His father said, "All boys do. Can't get by otherwise in this godforsaken world."
It's funny because it's true.
Politics bored young George, who turned his pubescent energies to crime.
Come on, boys, we're going for the record. 3 banks in 2 hours. Okay, folks, hold your applause and drop your drawers. I'm George Everything.
Live wire, though, eh?
All the money in a bag. What are you looking at, Grandpa?
Pardon me, George.
What the fuck? Oh, Jesus. His body dropped to the floor and I've been over him. My heart was pounding against my chest. Something in the back of my mind kept driving me on. A voice kept saying, kill him. No, I'm gonna kill him. I don't know why, but I struck him again. Thank you, folks. And remember, Jesus saves, but George withdraws.
And you tell your friends I'm George Babyface, born to raise hell.
Had neither the ambition nor the energy to be a predator in the classic criminal mold. He saw himself strictly as a canny opportunist. He wouldn't endeavor to commit a first-degree felony unless the moment presented itself. He believed in serendipity because it suited his style of minimal exertion.
Meanwhile,
George wasn't much help. He claimed to be saving his energy.
Yeah, am I supposed to magically pull Rudy Giuliani out of the air?
My job is to lead and to solve problems.
In a disaster, the last thing I'm going to do is take personal responsibility and do a pretty darn good job of it.
Brown whistled softly.
Hey, I'm talking to you.
Tough, but I've been playing the game. Well, I can't play it anymore. I'm going to...
Hold on, Rambo.
I don't care. I'm going.
Well, you're a damn fool.
Yeah.
Brown sounded exhausted.
But you know some of the... After all the scandals and the party politics and all the bull, there's somebody out there who still believes that we care, that we will do what we promised to do.
So, George said, it's the thought that counts.
But Mike said no. It was the principle of the thing, and it got me down. We started to argue. Mike said some pretty rough things, and I responded tit for tat.
I hope you realize that our association is only the result of an emergency.
You're trying to get me in trouble with my father. Just call him.
I am already lowering my standard by associating with you and fouling up my bun compartment.
Plenty.
You should be glad that I haven't turned you in.
Jesus hell.
If you want to stand there and berate me, I take great offense to that.
One of them, a know-it-all, who can't keep his trap shut.
Brown half expected to hear banjo music.
Personal rancor reflected in that remark, I don't intend to dignify with comment. But I would like to address your general attitude of hopeless negativism.
Like hell.
Consider the lilies of the goddamn field.
Why?
So I'm no stranger to a flaring temper.
Hold it, hold it. I think I hear people.
Don't make no sense.
Well, I guess hard times flush the chump. Everybody's looking for answers.
This time, though, I just walked away.
Where the hell's he going?
Far away, George said. Little Miss Psycho Bitch.
Gazing intently, I saw there were people warrened within that fog.
What am I going to do about it?
It's all well and good for sheep, but what are we to do?
I know the way, sure of that.
How do we know that?
In all that I have shown you, nothing your eyes have seen is so worth note as this present stream.
Oh, what's that smell?
It's the smell of impending victory.
Sewage.
Without warning, the president crashed shirtless out of the trees.
There on our left came the crashing bush.
He was feverish, drenched in sweat.
Naked, torn.
Not a viable member of the species. Not a welcome donor to the gene pool. Wouldn't Darwin himself agree?
Yeah!
Who's this then?
Breaking.
Evidently.
Don't do that with the liquor.
It sounds George Bush.
Oh, shut your cake hole.
Gracious!
Who are you who have become so brutally foul?
I'm your president.
Oh, President Bush!
Debbie?
Yes. I wouldn't have put her on.
It's great. Just great.
Come here.
Why?
I want to kiss you just once. Softly and sweetly on your mouth.
Hey, what the hell?
Which nobody can deny.
Horrible. You can't be serious.
So naked and muddy.
Funny, funny snap.
In weeping and sorrow remain, cursed soul, for I have seen through all that filth. I know you.
We're beginning to understand more about sacrifice. See, I believe out of this terrible evil can come some great good.
Hey. How bogus.
One thing I won't do is get in the way. No, there will be no risk of me getting in the way, I promise you. What I am going to do is observe the...
Look at that.
Look!
Let's see here.
It's quagmire, which produces so strong a stench surrounds the city of woe we cannot enter now except...
Let me give you a walkthrough, show you what to do and you don't do. Where's not safe to go to? The boys approach you. Better stay quick who you close to. Don't come through if don't know you. Cause people is talking, the streets is watching. We get it on where we live. Better have a pass when you cross that bridge.
Come on, but we... Come on.
Well, before we stopped to address them, I could see people there and sense they were honorable folks.
The amazing thing about Katrina is that there has been a fantastic response by people from all walks of life that have welcomed the neighborhood. Brother, what can I do to help you? Or how can I show you love?
Oh, how awful.
And once again, I'm confident that the American people will respond.
George said, shrugging.
Yeah, right.
Sure. But in the name of love that leads them, they will respond.
Let's roll.
Get the hell back in there.
Hey!
George shouted.
Go back home and mind your
mom. You don't see anything that went behind the ears, then.
Oops, George said. What a sick world, he thought.
Whoa! Kick your ass out for trying to get all them poor colored people thrown in jail, huh?
Jesus! Can't I count on you people?
Said Brown indignantly.
Well, all right.
Brown paused and looked round.
You take off through that bayou.
Wait a minute. Who elected you leader of this outfit?
I figured it should be the one with the capacity for abstract thought.
Meaning? Asked the president.
If that ain't the consensus view, then hell, let's put her to a vote.
Suits me. I'm voting for yours, too.
Well, I'm
vote for yours too.
George configured his crooked jaws into the semblance of a grin.
Not finished yet! Still have work to do!
Curiosity was becoming more intense than their hero worship, and it was only a matter of time now before someone turned on him. The crowd always turns on its heroes eventually, for money or a moment's fame, or just to see the high brought low.
Like being Vagra half the time.
Wonderful. I would stir from my room only once a month to fumble for my relief check in the mailbox. Realize your good fortune.
Hey. Is he always like this?
Mostly. I think he inherited the pompousness along with the big ears.
Warned you, you was an idiot.
George started to slouch away.
Can't you see this man isn't a hero?
The guy's hepped up on goofballs.
Let's sacrifice him to our god!
He hid his face and toiled on. He pushed on, staggering sometimes with his weariness, but never stopping. The usual brightness was gone from his eyes, and he walked with a sort of glum determination like an old man. A buffet of wind made him stagger. He could see something happen, a flicker of blue stuff against brown clouds. He pushed himself forward, and his legs gave beneath him. Even with great care, the best he could do was a stagger. Bush was inspecting the looming sky through his glass. I don't like them clouds. Remember how it rained just after we landed? Going to rain again. Bush stopped beating the water. I got a pain in my head. I wish the air was cooler. I wish the rain would come. I wish we could go home. Bush tried to whistle.
Meanwhile...
We need to handle every aspect of this ourselves. That means no outsiders and no leaks. If we screw it up, it could bring down the entire government.
But, sir...
It's the devil himself, and the devil is invisible and undetectable. It shouldn't exist, but it does. That's why this is necessary. They have to be eliminated, both of them. You do understand, don't you?
What are you planning to do?
To put an end to it. The last Halloween party is going to begin soon. But this time, the trick never disappears. It just spreads from person to person endlessly until it infects everyone in the world.
You're gonna take the whole world down with you? But why? That's insane.
You think so? Is there an indelible line dividing sanity from insanity? Or do they change one into the other at the slightest turn of events? We'll find out soon enough. That the world itself is insane.
Now all we need is a storm. A great grandmother of a storm.
Seems you'll have one soon enough.
From here, the future will open. The clouds will part to reveal its glory.
And it gives me no peace. I've seen what you've seen, Paul. I know what's coming.
What you're about to let loose, not just here on Arrakis, but across the entire universe.
I'm powerless to stop it.
Are you?
Sure.
The streets will be packed.
If he's hiding in plain sight, he'll blend right in.
Wait a minute. He's gonna do this in the middle of the city? How?
He had an accomplice. Said something about setting up Jack.
Jack?
We know who Jack is.
Jack-o'-lantern.
Say what?
A jack-o'-lantern?
Hey, what?
Stand by. We're starting the probe.
Ah! It's ideas like this that get people killed!
Now a great wind blew the rain sideways, cascading the water from the trees.
Look!
What
the hell is this?
The figure slid, rose to its feet, spun, swayed down through a vastness of wet air, and trod with ungainly feet the tops of the high trees.
Huh? Who is that one?
No!
George warbled in fear.
Hey, what the hell?
I haven't seen your face, but I know it's you. I can smell the blood on your hands from here.
George raised his blood-flecked arms toward the heavens.
And his partner! Well, I sure am having run into you like this. Well, after I got my wheels unstuck, I followed your tracks, drove all the way down here looking for you. Well, so much time had passed, I thought you changed your mind about the rescue and, I don't know, gotten married or something.
George got very nervous.
You'd better help me clean up, George, he said.
Come on.
George followed him inside, stepping over the wind-flattened doors. The place looked abandoned, except for the kitchen, where a pack of stray dogs fought over rancid hamburger in the overturned refrigerator. Immediately, he felt the whole day go sour. Just to be sure, he said,
you know, I'm the kind of guy to get inspired by the decency of others. And
he opened the door and peeked in. But as soon as he did...
Jack spoke loudly to the man with the rope.
Now give him the rhino, Trank.
Moments later, regaining consciousness...
Punk-ass.
Look, as I said the other day...
Opening his eyes, George saw the toes of Jack's boots. Didn't you see those goddamn rotten straps? Demanded Jack, who was making a crucifix with fallen roof beams. George, who was lashed to a broken commode in a bathroom, lowered his eyes in a pantomime of shame.
Hey, what the hell?
That's when he saw that the toilet bowl was alive with bright green frogs and mottled brown snakes, splashing beneath him in fetid water. Evidently, Jack intended to torture him no matter what.
You promised me no one would get hurt!